Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound
of... What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horton with you. And what is going on? What a crazy week. Well, as we come back from the weekend, and of course, again, my salute my veterans out there, and hope you had a good weekend and a great Veterans Day. And you know, wow, what a week for the markets, as we saw some really major things going on in the economy, in the world of the stock market. A lot of assumptions being made by the way the markets are trading. We had Tuesday, we had the election of Donald Trump. And of course, we saw the markets just almost not collapse, but, you know, the futures, S&P futures went down limit before turning around and rallying. And by the end of the week, where were we? Well, the Dow had made a new high. The Russell is close to an all-time new high after rallying 11%. And the S&P, mediocre at best, and the NASDAQ getting clocked, okay, clobbered. So what do we think there? Well, we're seeing some, you know, major divergences now in the different markets. And where, you know, what we're going to see next. You know, I think that you saw the financial stocks flying higher because their hope is that there will be less regulation, which means that they can free up some cash, which means they can now bring some liquidity to the borrowing market, which means that you have the potential of more small business, which means we could see more people working. So it's a pretty good chain, of events that starts. And of course, this was one of the contentions that we have had from the beginning, is the way that the administration that's in power now was running. They didn't create this environment. They wanted to create an environment of more control and more regulation. Now, again, there's people that like that type of environment, and there's people that don't. I happen to be one that doesn't. I believe in the free market society. But again, I'm not saying one or the other. I'm just saying that now you're seeing a lot of these depressed companies now, you know, banks, and, you know, anybody in the financial area looks to get a boost or a benefit from a Trump presidency. You also saw a big move up in some of the coal stocks and some of the coal companies. Okay. Because again, you know, unlike Obama, okay, and again, this was a very bad thing that he did, like him or not, but, you know, when you shut down an industry, you hurt a lot of people. And, you know, again, I'm not saying that we should not work our way away from coal, but you need to do things in a progression to allow the workers to set themselves up so they can go make a living elsewhere. You can't just shut the door on a bunch of people that are not that are unemployable elsewhere, because they spent their lives in one sector, and that's all they know. And that is the mistake that was made, you know, very similar to the mistake that was made in 08 when they went to the easing program in general. Okay, they really shut the doors and they really clobbered everything, and that's why you see the worst recovery in history. Okay. Now, again, I'm not going to blame anybody for it. You know, I believe that both parties, from a political standpoint, are responsible for this because, again, what does it come down to? What we always talk about, it comes down to money. And when you know, when they start losing a grip on their money, you know, they get a little nervous. And that's why, you know, we didn't have all these quantitative easings and things for us. We had it for them so they could continue their ridiculous ways of spending and not budgeting and not having to follow the same laws or rules that you and me have to follow every single day. But I do believe that, you know, based on, you know, the policies and what they're trying to do, I think you're going to see this is going to be a big boom for small companies, entrepreneurs, new startups. At least I'm hoping it'll be. But again, if we free up liquidity and we free up cash, that will allow small business to come back and exist. You know, the biggest problem in the regulatory world is when you overregulate any market, it doesn't matter. You know, again, when you overregulate any business, okay, what you're really doing is you're saying, screw you, we don't want you to be in business. We want to make sure that the big guys are in business. And that's the real issue because, again, the regulatory bodies have not your best interest at heart. They don't have the customer's best interest at heart, which is supposed to be the reason that there's all these regulatory issues. They have their own best interest at heart. And that becomes the real problem because when you're trying to manipulate anything, you're not doing it for the betterment of the masses. You're doing it for the betterment of the few. Because in issues, in business, okay, you know, I have the chance or the choice. If interest rates were 10% today, I have the choice of whether or not I want to borrow money. Okay, I can try to borrow money at that rate and see if I can make it or not. But I know that the higher the rates go, the more liquidity that I'm going to get from the banks, okay, and the lending bodies. Because while we were not paying attention, okay, the monies that were being borrowed were being borrowed at very, very high rates because of all these peer-to-peer lenders, okay? They simply did the things that made it, you know, people who need money, you know, people who are desperate will borrow money, and they will borrow money at usury type of rates, okay? And that's the problem, okay? So you overregulated the little guys, and you forced small business not to be able to succeed because, again, you know, how much can you overcome of things that you have to pay extra for that are not part of your business plan, okay? And that really becomes the bigger story and the bigger problem when you're overregulated and you have to pay for these overregulations. It makes it hard to be in business. The model doesn't work. You know, if you're trying to work on a 10% margin overall and you have to add, let's say, $100,000 to your payroll, okay, well, that $100,000 doesn't produce anything. You know, one of the problems I have in business is when you hire employees, you want them to be able to produce and have the potential to pay their own wage. Because we have enough people that don't pay their own wage and have to be part of my staff, okay, from the human resources. And even if it's one person, okay, they're not paying, they're not bringing in revenue. They're strictly outflow. So compliance and regulatory bodies, that's just more outflow. That's right off the bottom line. It makes it very challenging for anybody to survive when you have to have these extra expenses because they have no chance of bringing in more revenue. I can't make more sales. I can't do more because I'm compliant. I just, again, it's strictly taking the money and putting it in a vacuum. So that is, you know, part of the issues, and we'll talk more about it later today, but this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I want to make sure that when you miss an episode, when you miss a show, go to libertytalk.fm and download the show and become one of my couple of 100,000 downloaders. And if you also, you can listen to the Sporting Edge on the weekends, and it's coming soon, our new show that'll be on Saturdays, a farm show. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop by for a break, and we'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
All right, boys, follow me, mostly in A.
Welcome back to The Bubba Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the very talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, financial literacy for kids, and overall just a wonderful person. Jane, welcome aboard. What's up?
Oh, thanks, Todd. Well, just I think I need some therapy after the election, because apparently that's what everybody who voted for Hillary Clinton needs. So I think I need like process my emotions. I mean, can you believe this? Like, what's going on? Like, these protests and stuff. It's pretty incredible.
No, I can't believe it. And you know, it's really interesting, you know, with the election and, of course, the Tuesday night. You know, you could see, and I would say probably around, what do you think, about 10 o'clock Eastern time, we knew that Donald Trump was going to be the winner. I mean, it was the Florida they were watching, and all of a sudden the markets just got creamed and the S&P futures went down limit. And, you know, it looked like the world was coming to an end. And, you know, as everybody was predicting, but of course, all of a sudden they decided in the morning on Wednesday to change their mind. And they decided that, okay, they're going to make it the biggest week in history. What do you think of that?
I mean, well, my head was spinning watching the markets, but just I stayed up almost the whole night. I think I slept about an hour. So I went to sleep just when Wisconsin went to him, and that was stunning enough. And then I woke up about an hour later, and Florida and Ohio and North Carolina had gone to him. I think the first inkling that this was going to be a good night for him was when we saw him up by 5% in Virginia. I mean, he ended up not winning Virginia, but the fact that it was actually, he was up by a pretty large amount for a while, kind of told you something was going on out in the country. And of course, then, so we waited for Pennsylvania. And about 2:30 in the morning, the Associated Press called him the winner. So, yes, and the market's now at record highs, and I just wonder what Mark Cuban's doing after he predicted a 10% drop in the Dow that Trump would be elected.
Well, how about better yet? He said he'd rather lose all of his money than have Trump being elected. I mean, that was one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. But I mean,
have you ever seen like people, like I guess Democrats, liberals, I mean, be so irrational? I mean, I'm my Facebook friends, who I love dearly, I've been friends with them for years, but some of the stuff they're saying is just completely irrational. Like, if you voted for Trump, just go tell all your African-American friends they don't matter. Like, what? Where is this coming from? And it's very narrow-minded. I mean, he's got a very different way of looking at things economically, in terms of trade. He has some better ideas, I believe, on Obamacare. I have Obamacare, so I could speak about this with authority. I think there's a lot of stuff going on there with his policies, and it's not just a couple of things that he said, which aren't even really all that racist. I mean, he shouldn't have, you know, said things about Mexicans and stuff, but he did say some, and I just think there's a lot more. People are just really being very, like, narrow-minded and just focused on one thing he said instead of a whole person and a whole policy.
Well, I mean, I just think we should sit back and let him do his thing. If he's a bad president, you'll vote him out the next time. Of course, I think he's a one-term. I think he's going to do a great job, and I think he's going to be a one-termer, because I think this is just, he wants, in his mind, my opinion is he wants to get the country turned around, and I don't think he's a racist. I think that he's a guy that is not politically correct. He says what he wants to say when he wants to say it, and he doesn't care who, he's unfiltered. And I think that,
yeah.
You know, I don't think that's such a bad thing in my humble opinion, but, you know, I think it's interesting. I think it's a great chance for the country, because I have said forever that we need a businessman to run the country, because the United States is the biggest corporation in the world, is it not?
Yeah, well, you need somebody who actually understands business. I mean, we have had people in for so long that have never met a payroll. I mean, they don't understand how difficult it is. I mean, you got to go sell, and there's economic cycles that you have to deal with and plan for. And it's not like the government where money just comes in because it comes from people's paychecks and people are paying taxes. You can't count on that when you run a business. And so I feel like I think he's going to be really great for the economy. I think he's going to be great for, I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised across the United States and across the world at what kind of job he does.
I think he's going to be unbelievable. And I thought I would have loved on Thursday to have been a fly on the wall in the meeting between him and Obama. I mean,
well, you know, I have to tell you, like Wednesday, I watched Hillary Clinton's speech, And you could tell she was crushed, but I thought she gave an excellent speech and very classy. And I thought Obama has been very classy. Now, I think they're both probably also planning for their post-government lives and want to make a lot of money, so they know this is the smartest thing to do. But I think they realized that they missed something that was going on, and a lot of people did, and I think they're handling this very well. And I wish that the protesters would listen to Hillary and kind of take that same attitude.
And I agree. I mean, I don't know what, you know, the protesting is really ridiculous, in my opinion. I just, you know, I talked about it the other day on my show, and I just can't take it. You know, let's see what he can do. I mean, you can always be miserable. Why not step up and take the high road, as they like to claim, and say, you know, maybe he could be a great president. I mean, you know, maybe he will make financial literacy the Gene King model and my model in school. Well,
hey, if he asked me to be secretary of kids' financial literacy, I would accept it in a heartbeat. But no, I think that he's going to come. I mean, the government is just too big, and there's just so much interference, and it's the Democrats just overstepped it. I mean, with the EPA and the coal issue and energy and executive orders, and it was just too much. And people felt like, you know, they were losing control of their own government. And that was really what was behind all this. And I'm sorry that some people just can't see that and don't seem like they ever will.
No, I'm very hopeful, and you know, I've been disappointed before, and I could be wrong, but I'm very hopeful that we are on the right path. I mean, I think the banks certainly think we're on the right path because they've been going ballistic.
Especially the small banks. I mean, they had a really tough time with all these regulations. So it's nice to see them, because I like small banks. I mean, I grew up, you know, in a farming community where the small banks really supported the economy. And, you know, it's sad to see five banks essentially controlling everything. So I'm happy to see the small banks doing well. And yeah, I mean, it's completely upended the economy. And that's one of the reasons why we're hitting record highs, is that so many things were beaten down. And now with Trump, it's like they have new life again. So it's interesting.
Well, I mean, you are a farm girl. I mean, you're a big city girl now, yep. But you are a farm girl. And the small community banks. I mean, this Trump could be great for the farm community, because now it looks like maybe they'll be able to free up some money. And they won't have all these ridiculous regulations that actually prevented the small banks from lending money to farmers, because we all know, well, maybe not everybody knows, but farmers spend gazillions of dollars just to get started on the hope and the prayer that they have a good season, they can make some money. I mean, you know, it's...
Oh, my goodness. It's,
right?
It's so expensive to get started. I mean, if you don't grow up in a farm family or inherit millions of dollars, I mean, you just can't start farming. And, you know, it's sad. I mean, tractors are, you know, $100,000. Combines are a few $100,000. Land is, you know, you have to have a decent amount of land to even think about being profitable. And it's $10,000 an acre. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I do hope that, you know, there'll just be some really structural changes that are going to take place that are going to kind of reset the economy and get us on the upswing and give people some hope. There's people need hope, like in some of these areas that have been beaten down.
100%. And speaking of financial literacy, when's your next podcast? I know you did Jim Cramer, you did me, and when's your next one coming for your kids?
Well, should be published. It will be the week of the 14th, November 14th. So should be coming out here soon. We decided to kind of wait a few days because of all the election stuff that was going on. We figured it would get buried. So we'll release it the week of the 14th. But really good stuff. Jim has a lot of great things to say about not just what he feels about financial literacy, but his own personal experience dealing with his parents, you know, arguing about money. And he's just incredibly open about that. And it was just really interesting. So look for that probably the 14th or 15th of November.
Jane King, I thank you as always. You are the best. You always bring great stuff to the show, and I always love talking to you anyways. And I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, Hon.
Friend, our good friend, Jane King, from Lila Max Media in the Ka-Ching Report. She, you know, she always brings, I kid around with her. I said, you bring good things to light. And she is like, gee, she's always good. And, you know, she's, you know, one of the few that has got, you know, a lot of the background besides being a great reporter in New York now. You know, she comes from farm country. She comes from the Midwest. So she's got the feel for not just the Wall Street crowd, but she's got the feel for the entire world and how they see, because of, you know, what she does. She's basically coast to coast, and it's really great. Always great to have her on. She does a great job for us, and we appreciate it. And, you know, one of the things we're concerned about is, you know, we see the action in the markets. We want to make sure that everybody learns how to get hedged and protect that portfolio. Go to BubbaTrading.com and check it out. We'll be starting new classes after the first of the year. In the meantime, go to LibertyTalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every single day so you can get to hear people like Jane and me and everybody else. And this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break, and we will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, as we start the week out, you know, what do we expect? Are these rallies going to continue? Are we going to have, is the breakout going to be to the upside versus the downside? You know, I still believe that the breakout will be to the downside. But, again, you cannot assume that to be correct. In the last 2 weeks, we've seen a breakout down, or we would call it a false breakout, followed by a breakout to the upside. But on the upside here, we're not getting full participation. As we talked about earlier today, we had, you know, a major divergence in markets. And what does that really mean? Well, again, what you want to do is you want to look at the composite of what's in those markets. And the potential of lesser regulation brings into play a lot of smaller companies, as we talked about, you know, in the open. And that will continue to be better for everybody. I mean, it's going to be better for, I think this is a big boom for the farming community. I think the access to cash, if everything goes the way it's supposed to, makes it easier. I think the pressure that you get from the banks will be less. So I think that frees up. I think this will be bad for many of the, if everything goes through, right? Many of the subprime lenders, many of the, you know, the predatory lenders, we'll call them, the peer-to-peer kind of stuff, you know, because again, those peer-to-peer lenders, although everybody serves a purpose, but they charge such a ridiculous rate. They draw you in with a proposed lower rate, which turns out not to be a lower rate, but then you know that, hey, I need the money and I can't get anywhere else, so I'll go ahead and borrow it and you overpay for it, you know. But that is truly a price discovery model. I mean, again, we can call it whatever we want, but, you know, you have the choice if you want to pay for it. But, of course, again, desperation, you know, will make us do things. Of course, we taught the old saying, desperate people do desperate things. And so if you're desperate, you might go ahead and do that. I think that, you know, and again, these are things that are not going to happen tomorrow. But what we're seeing now is the potential that they're going to happen, which is now sparking up a lot of these companies, which is why you see the Dow very, very strong and the NASDAQ kind of weak, because we're now rotating, you know, into some other segments based on, you know, where the quick money will be made. And of course, you've got, you know, a lot of guys that are trying to double down, and you've got a lot of things happening. But what has really changed? No, well, nothing's really changed yet. So as we sit here in the throes of an 8-year bull market of almost 200%, from the bottom. Okay. What do we have? Well, we have a market. You know, again, I'm not going to predict where we're going to go, but again, we have not had enough growth to go along with where we are in the markets. We still don't have good earnings. And again, If you are a fan of Trump and his policies, they don't even take office until January, I think, what is 18th or whatever it is. So, you know, here we are still in November. And at the end of the day, it's going to take a long time to get this ship turned around. And you would expect some profit taking. And now with the bond markets getting clocked, okay, which means that interest rates are rising at that level. Okay, they're not rising at the Fed funding rates yet, but they are rising in the individual. I mean, you've got the 10-year note now over 2.5%. I mean, excuse me, 2.12%. You've got the 30 again approaching 3%. You know, just a couple of weeks ago it was 2%. So you've had a dramatic increase in rates. What does that mean? Well, what's going to happen here is that a lot of the fixed income money that doesn't want to be in the market, you know, one of our contentions is that there's a lot of people in the market that don't want to be in the market that are being forced in, okay? And if they can get any money at all from anywhere of any return, they're going to get out. They don't want, you know, again, if you're at the, you know, at the retirement level or near, okay, you're not interested in taking the amount of risk that is associated with being in the stock market over any short period of time. You know, long term, the stock market is the greatest investment in the world. Long term, as long as you can afford or you know how to hedge. But even if you don't know how to hedge, I mean, overall, if you can take the up and down swing of a market and you're not buying garbage and trying to gamble, you know, good companies are going to grow. They're going to pay dividends. They're going to go down and they're going to go up and they're going to go down. They're going to go up. And if you can understand how to do that, okay, and understand where you're at, then, you know, then you're in good shape, okay? But at the end of the day, what we do have to worry about is we've got to worry about the next process, okay? And that means that a lot of money will most likely be flowing out of the market, okay? Because people will take it and want to go to a safer haven. You know, they'd love to go back. I guarantee you, if they get 2-3%, on a CD, they'd be gone. So, you know, the good news is that the attempts will be made to create real markets and real economic growth by cutting down on regulations, by cutting down on the things that have been the biggest roadblock in the markets. And they've been a roadblock, okay? You say what you want, okay? There has been dramatic roadblocks in trying to succeed in this growth recovery, because it really hasn't been a growth recovery. It's been stagnant. It's been brutal. It's been horrible. Okay. And that becomes a problem over time. But now that that's gone, okay, will we start to see a flow of money start to come out of the markets and go into some fixed income products? And again, that will be, you know, there'll be some products created. There'll be some anticipation. And if people can find an investment vehicle that will help them out and not keep them exposed to risk, they're going to take it. Okay. I'm sure that some will be happy to take 2% on the 10-year, which is supposedly above inflation. But of course, I don't buy that. You know, I mean, I'm paying more and making less, so I don't get it myself. But so you look at the potentials of where we can go and who's going to benefit. And obviously, if we get people back to work, if we get business borrowing money, if we get the banks lending money, that benefits everybody longer term, because that brings back the velocity of money when it starts. Okay, what we're missing here is the overall velocity, the movement of money from basically one pocket to another. Okay, and we have created a lot of dark holes here, okay, that could create some major issues, you know, going forward. No matter how good things get, we do have some holes that have to be filled. But if we do fill them and we start to see it, I mean, we could start to see, you know, next year, and I'm not talking about just after January, I'm talking about, you know, let's say 6 to 9 to 12 months from now, we could start to see some real growth, okay? We could start to see some real opportunity, okay? And that is where we need to go, is where we can actually see progress, where we're actually making real money in real businesses and not trying to inflate a stock market so that the few can make okay? Whereas if we can get the economy growing and get people spending and get things going in the correct way, we could potentially correct the retail area. But I think retail is kind of dead no matter what. I think that basically we're down to two retailers, Amazon and Walmart. And again, Amazon is just, you know, look, you like them or not, they do a pretty good job. And they're the biggest, and they've got probably one of the best business models for online shopping, because you can get anything there, okay? And at the end of the day, okay, you know, with in today's world, we have a lot of more tech-savvy people that were willing to shop online. And, you know, think about it. You know, if you can buy, you know, item A at Amazon, okay, for $100 without leaving your home, okay, and to deliver it, or you can drive 20 miles to go buy that same product. You have to bring it home, you have to deliver it, and you have to pay gas, it's time. You know, you might just go ahead and get Amazon. I think the day of the casual shopper, the shopping trip being an event, are over. That's my opinion. You know, I look at the, you know, I'm from the Chicago area. You know, Woodfield Mall was an event you used to go to. That was one of the first big malls, you know, enclosed back in the day. And I don't know, that's probably what, 35 years ago, 40 years ago. But at the end of the day, it was a big, it was an event to go to Woodfield. Okay. And now, you know, the malls are dying because people don't go shopping as an event anymore. They do something else. And there is not anywhere near the amount of business being done, you know, in the stores. I mean, basically, you have the convenience type of stores that you need a quick item that you obviously can't get online. You got to run out. You run to the local, you know, shoe store, dress store, whatever. But basically, those are going to be phased out because the competition, they cannot compete in the current circumstances because they can't compete on price. And again, they can't compete on convenience. Now, there'll always be the few diehards that will continue to be regular shoppers. But at the end of the day, again, between Walmart and Amazon, we're wiping out that industry. But again, we can find something new. We're very innovative, and you know, there'll be something else that will eventually replace this. But in the meantime, it can be a little bit scary, and that's where these real changes need to come, so we can free up the money, let people go into business, and develop these new companies that will carry us into the future. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and as I always encourage you to go, first of all, check out BubbaTrading.com. We've got a lot of great products and a lot of great things and a lot of free information as well. And also, you go download The Bubba Show at libertytalk.fm every single day. And, you know, we have a great station as well. I mean, other programming. So go check it out. I'm going to step out here for a break, and I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, we're coming right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Top of Oars on this Monday. The euphoric markets, everything's going good. But let me ask you this. Where is Hillary Clinton? Where is Barack Obama? Where is the Democratic Party out there saying, quit with the protesting? Okay, where are those leaders that supposedly, you know, were so intent on taking care of everything, and now, here we are, okay, rioting, protesting, brutal, terrible, okay, and yet nobody cares, okay? Where is our leader saying, you know, help us out here? You know, I read a tweet over the weekend, and I think this is, to me, this says it all, okay? I hope Donald Trump is a good president. Wanting him to fail is like wanting the pilot to crash the plane that we all are on. I mean, look. Like him or not, he is the president, okay? So, you know, we know he's got his flaws, but to have all this ridiculous protesting, okay, and especially some of the violence that has come with it, to have this, not my president, not, you know, all this stuff is just, with the agitators that are put in there and the paid protesters, I get it. I understand a lot of people are unhappy, and that's fine. But this was an election. It was won by Trump. Now, the best thing for everybody is that if he does a good job, okay? You know, if he doesn't do a good job, you vote him out. I mean, we've had presidents in the history. I mean, you know, a lot of people didn't like Barack Obama. Okay, a lot of people did. So if you liked him, that's fine. If you didn't, you know, but don't you think it's in your best interest to see if he can do a good job? I mean, why are we rooting against ourselves? I mean, it doesn't, it just, it's not logical to start the fighting, okay, against yourself. You're betting against your future by trying to be an idiot out there protesting, okay? You know, again, you have to have something to win. You know, if you're fighting for something, great. But what are you fighting for? That's my point. I mean, this assassinate Trump, hashtag assassinate Trump. I mean, is this not the stupidest thing ever? You know, I don't understand where this country went wrong. Okay. We had a legitimate election followed by a legitimate winner. And now you have rioting. Okay. Protesting. Now, again, we live in a free country, which is a benefit. And you can protest, you can do your thing, but that's not going to change anything. And certainly the violence, the beating up of people that voted for Trump, okay, does not get you anything, but hopefully in jail where you belong, okay? Because if you're not going to get along, okay, then you need to go. You know, this is where we've come to, you know, over this. And this is not the fault. This is actually, you could blame this on the Economic Times. Now, who's responsible for the Economic Times? Well, the guy who goes and brags about it every day, okay, and tells you how good he did with his jobs he created. But where's the guy now when you need him to calm the country? Okay, where is that guy that you need to calm down the country? Okay, that guy who came out from the meeting, you know, last week with Trump and said we're going to make this better. How come there hasn't been a peep out of him? Okay, how about the other part of that party that, you know, said, you know, understood and wanted to make America better, but now when needed, okay, has been gone, hiding. Okay, you know, this is the problem. Okay, somebody needs to step up, okay, from the losing party and say, hey, look, the election's over. The protesting is doing you no good. But you want to protest, at least do it peacefully. Okay. Don't continue to try to change it. Okay. It is what it is. Let's support our effort. And you know what? If you don't like him, in 4 years, you can vote him out. Okay. In 4 years, you can make your changes. Okay. But of course, I'm sure that a lot of the protesters never even went out to vote. Okay. But here they are protesting because the problem is when you hire agitators to come out there and mix it up and wind people up, okay, what do you end up with? You end up with a dramatic mess, which is what we have right now. So we're going to lose a lot of innocent lives here because we have a free country, but those people don't want you to be free. It's free as long as you do what they want you to do. Now, isn't that a joke? To me, again, I'm pretty much of a black and white kind of guy, and I'm for jailing them all. Okay, you know, you want to beat somebody up because we live in America and we have the freedom to choose who we want without worrying about getting the crap beat out of us. I thought that was what we lived at. Okay, I thought we lived in a society that was free. I didn't know that it was free until I voted for somebody else, and then you could come and beat me up. Okay, I didn't know that we're going to have violence, you know, after the election. You know, is this not something that, you know, that's the issue, and that this was more created by the past administration's anger, this way of thinking. Okay, because why? Well, because maybe the entitlements will dry up a little bit. Maybe we'll actually try to keep a real budget in this country. You know, maybe we'll stop trying to print more and spend less. You know, maybe that'll be better. Maybe we'll see some real growth. You know what? Just maybe you might get a job that pays more than $8.25 an hour. But go out there and protest, okay? Because you're probably getting paid more to be a paid protester than you were anywhere else, because, of course, they need you to wind it up and take the chance that you're going to go to jail. So you go ahead and blast away. But remember who you're blasting against. You're not blasting against the guy who just got elected. He didn't do anything. He just got elected. Blast against the guy who created this anger, this hatred behind you, okay? This was not by chance. This is created. because now maybe some of that free, maybe the free lunch is over. Maybe you'll actually have to go out and get a job. Maybe you'll actually have to go work, okay? Instead of just getting that nice check every week or 2 weeks, whenever it comes, okay? And do the crap that you do. That's my problem, okay? I have no problem with people protesting. But now you want to blame somebody. Well, blame the current administration for the economic times. I know that every day they come out and tell us how good they did for us. I haven't seen it. Have you? Okay. But yet now, over the last couple of years, what have we had? We've got more killings, more violence. Okay. And why is it? Well, because people aren't making enough money. That's why. Because life comes down to the key component of money. And when you're not making enough and you can't pay your bills and you can't eat and you can't feed your kids, you do one of two things. And one of them is turning to violence. And that's what we're seeing. Okay. You know, the Black Lives Matter. And again, you're free to protest in this country all you want. But the oppression begins at the top. And who created that situation? Okay. The same people that refuse to fight against the terrorists. The same people that became very antagonistic about the laws, the same people that created all of the problems, okay, are what we're seeing now. And again, I'm not blaming them for everything, but I'm saying that this is the time, if you're truly a great leader, you would be out there now blasting messages saying, hey, look, we need to come together. We need to have unity. We need to become the America that we had in the past. We need to become stronger, as Hillary Clinton did, stronger together, okay? But this is not stronger together. This is separation. And it's not being pushed away by the current administration. You know, if it was campaigning for Hillary, he'd be out there every 5 minutes talking about it. Where are you now, President Obama? Where are you now, ex-secretary, ex-candidate Clinton? You know, where are you out there now trying to calm down the violence? I think that, my friends, is a bigger problem, because certainly they would listen to you, but you're not there. Amazing. It's always amazing when the one person, the two people, or the three people in the world could calm this down, have disappeared. But when we're out there campaigning, we didn't miss a minute. I find that to be ridiculous, disgusting, and very, very poor judgment on what's the current status. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure that you go to BubbaTrading.com and check out what we're doing, as well as LibertyTalk.fm, so you can download The Bubba Show every day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. That will do it for today, my friends. We will see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
That this old world just spin around.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.